Blog Talk Radio.
Producer and switchboard operator, of course.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
And Vernice is out with a cold, and I want to apologize. Last Sunday, I wasn't on the air because I had some viral flu infection that ended up in the hospital, but I'm doing great now. I'm feeling 100% back and in effect. So, and today our show is about poetry, and we have a special guest on board today. We've got Mr. Alvin L.A. Horn. He's a famous poet and author of book Brush Strokes, and he also has a new book coming out, which we're going to discuss. But Mr. Horn is a well-known Northwest poet icon. He does exotic sexual poems, essays that will keep you hot and bothered. He has received several accolades from all over for his work and performance at different venues. So we're definitely looking forward to having him on the show today. And, of course, we're going to do a little Q&A with Mr. Horn as well, as hopefully he'll read a couple of his readings out of his new book. Okay. Any announcements today, Chabonet?
None that I can think of. I guess just for us Seattle folks, looks like we don't. Our weekend was okay for the past couple of weekends. They were pretty nice in the 70s. At least it didn't rain, people. It's a little chilly, but at least it didn't rain.
Yes, this is so true. So other than that, everything is going well. So with that, without further ado, we're going to bring on Mr. Alvin L.A. Horn. Hello, Mr. Alvin Horn. How are you this afternoon, sir?
What a wonderful day in the neighborhood. What a wonderful day in the neighborhood. Bring your soul, bring what love flows. Lay down them old ways. Let me see a new way of seeing you. I open doors for you. Warm drafts enter. You are safe to be. Let me write what's inside you. Let me listen to what others can't stand. I'll appreciate you in true, honest, thee self. Your friend will be a safe place for you to come clean. Your secret is safe with me. What a wonderful day in the neighborhood. Hey, ladies, how you doing?
Oh, we all right now.
All right now. Alvin's starting us off, ladies. Also, let me say anyone that wants to call in, I'm sorry, that phone number is area code 646-727-2914. That's area code 646-727-2914. And please feel welcome to call in if you have any questions for Mr. Horn or us. So, well, Mr. Horn, let's get started. How long have you been writing poetry?
I might have come out the womb, kind of rhyming and all that kind of stuff, you know. Who knows? It's always been a lifelong passion. It was a way for me to communicate. You know, back in the day, you know, a brother had to have some rap, and my rap was that I could recite poetry. So,
all
you know,
right.
That was my thing.
All right, and you're very good at it, too.
Yes.
So I'm assuming that what got you started was the women, right?
You know, like I said, it was a form of communication for me. you know, it's kind of strange, the things that I do write. I was actually really shy, and so that was my way of, yes, talking to a woman. You know, and why, of course, you know, at a young age, children can be cruel, you know. So, you know, women, like, don't be trying to write me no poetry. You just trying to get some, you know. And that wasn't exactly the whole truth, you know. It was just part of the truth. So, but, yeah, communication for me is something that I've been able to do in some form of art, either music, theater. So, you know, I've been around those kind of things, and to have been blessed with a talent, I just say I'm thankful to God that I have it, and I want to use it and share it.
And you're very good at it, too. Well, Mr. Horn, can we talk a little bit about your first book, Brush Strokes, before we talk about your newest release?
Yeah, sure. I mean, Brush Strokes was one of these dream come true things that I didn't think anybody would read my book. And matter of fact, that's what others had told me. So, you know, all those dream blockers that we run into and all those
yes,
naysayers
sir.
And all those jealous people, I kind of fell subject to that. And thankful a friend had read a short story of mine and says, man, you ought to turn this into a book. Well, you know, my main thing was short stories and poetry. And I kind of said, nah, nobody going to read that. And he encouraged me to go ahead and write the book. And getting into it, I start to see that I had something to say that, you know, that even I like what I had to say as far as, you know, putting a book together. And the story of Brushstrokes, why, of course, you know, if you're an author, you're asked a million times, is a story about you. And it is not. It is not about me, but it is things that I do know. I played pro football in Canada, so the story kind of takes place between Canada and Seattle. You see familiar landmarks like Stanley Park in Vancouver, Canada, things of that mm-hmm. nature, riding the train back and forth to Vancouver and Seattle. So there's the backdrop, but the story is really about we all have experienced finding love, thinking it's the ultimate love, and, you know, most of us have experienced that, know that it wasn't, and a lot of times it's dramatic. And then we go into a process of, do I even want to even try this again? And so I built this character who goes through this. But in order for him to get to where he really wants to be in love again, he has to go through his past. And so I kind of build up this story for this person named Tylo Dandridge. So he's got quite a following nowadays.
Oh, yes, it does. Is there a possibility, Mr. Horn, you can maybe read us a little excerpt from Brush Strokes?
I could do
just
that.
Just to tickle
little.
The fancy?
I could. If you give me a few minutes to get something really interesting from Brush Strokes. There was a point in time in the book that he met a woman. And this is how the story really began. Is that Tylo happened to just be minding his own business. And all of us have experienced meeting someone just for a few minutes, maybe an hour, a very short period of time that you meet someone. And they have such an impact on your life. Yet we can have mm-hmm. people around us for years, and we can't wait till they're out of our lives.
True,
you know?
That.
So,
mm-hmm.
We always run into these situations that we've met someone, they've made a big impact on our how we see things, perceive things, or they create dreams in us. And a lot of Brushstroke is about this dream this Tylo Dandridge has. And so he goes through a whole process of basically healing himself from wounds.
Okay.
And, like I said, I'm often asked, is that you? And I said, no, it's not me. But it's quite an interesting story, as, you know, people have let me know. It has touched them in a good way.
Okay.
Here's a love letter from Brushstrokes that Tylo writes. I'll wait, too, and dream of another time when my eyes will undress your eyes and leave you reaching for my embrace to cover you, comfort you. I'll wait until a time I will be able to ease and erase all and any past troubles of your mind. I'll wait until a time I cannot avoid our hearts from beating together. Dear lady, I'll dream sweet dreams until our time. Let it be known to you, you are no fantasy to me, and I am not just an image from your mind of dreams that you want to come true. We are real breaths of air.
That's beautiful.
Yes, it is.
You stopped already, man. You had me going, brother. I was like, okay. I'm waiting for more. Oh, my God. You get us going. See, Alvin, how you do us?
I'm just sharing what's inside me. Hope you're enjoying it.
Oh, definitely.
Definitely. Well, I'm going to ask you this right quick. How's your response been from women regarding your poetry?
Why are you trying to start that?
You know I got to mess with you, Alvin. Come on now.
Because we didn't see those responses on Facebook.
Oh, Lord.
Good Lord. I was like, are you at work talking like this? Calm down.
I know. Or even if you go to one of his performances, them women leave out of the venue ready to go home and attack their man. Which
I'm always
ought to be
trying
thanking
to help somebody out.
Yeah. Well, there's probably a lot of gentlemen who want to shake your hand and tell you, please, continue with your poetry.
I get both ends.
There you go.
I get both ends. I've had to tell a few gentlemen, you know, you're getting mad at me. How about you just take my poetry and go read it to her?
Hello. I know that's right.
I mean, in actuality, you know, yes, people have insecurities, and we know that's why I got books to write. They're different kinds of jealousies and insecurities. And, yes, I've ran into, I would say more than often, I've ran into a few gentlemen that who are upset that they think that my poetry is enticing their woman away from them. Or I'm saying, you know, if she's reading my material, she's really wanting you to say what I'm writing. She's hoping that you would, you know, expose more of your emotions and less of your insecurities.
Amen.
You might want to go buy a poetry book or anything and just read to her. She just wants you to talk to her. Maybe you're not the gift of gab. Maybe you're not that so-called deep. You don't have to. You just got to share what's inside you. And if you have to read somebody else's work to entice her, to encourage her, to make her feel whole and complete, like she's special and unique, you might want to read to her. So here's a poem, bro. Go home and read it to her.
No, that's right.
There
that's
go.
Good. I like that.
Yep. It's very beautiful. Okay, well, Alvin, let's discuss your new book that's coming out and the release date and the background of it. It's called Perfect Circle, ladies. Anyway, I'll let Alvin take it from here.
You know, once again, it's a matter one book comes out, and, you know, everyone asked, well, when's the next one coming? And it was actually to some point of a disappointment that it took so long. But now that it's here and I went through all the different changes to become a better writer, I think there's just literally going to be no one that's going to be displeased. I have had it test read by different groups, different people who are for sure good readers who know what they're talking about, and it's some reviewers have already read it, a couple of newspapers, national newspapers, they got their reviews ready to go, and it is a hit. So I'm really happy and anticipating it. But now things have changed for me that I'm no longer that self-published author. I belong with Simon & Schuster, which is the largest publisher in the world. And my self-publisher is Zane. You know, so she became aware of my writing. And here I am, you know. And, you know, she has a following all her own. But she's reached out to other authors to so you can hear other voices. And I've been chosen to be one of those. And so far, you know, one of the things that's very important is that you have to sell your book before it comes out. People often ask, you know, how did a book open at number 5 on the New York Times bestseller list? That's because the book was sold well in advance. When Stephen King sells a book, you know, and it opens at number 1, or, you know, James Patterson, people are like, oh, how did that happen? The book just came out yesterday. You know, did everybody run and go buy it right then and there? I didn't see no traffic accidents, you know, at Barnes & Noble. You know, what happened? The book was well sold months in advance, 200 and 300 and 400 copies, you know. So I'm on that mission now to sell my book before it comes out, having faith in that the public, you know, really enjoys what I do and is anticipating and is growing with me. And I really appreciate the people who tout my name, like you and others who make it possible for me to be on this level, to receive this national recognition, and for me to give everybody what's inside me for them to read, because I write what their story is. You know, right. I write it, and you know, there are many authors today who are what we call writing ghetto lit. There are many authors who write about people of color being rich and what have you. Have you ever read a book and you wonder, when do they go to work? Most like a soap opera? You know? Do they ever work? You know? You know, there's that side of writing. I write people who are going to work every day in different forms. And in Perfect Circle, we have a lady who is a court reporter. We have a head basketball coach of a national basketball college program and his assistant. And we also have a literary professor on a college, you know, and their friends all work normal jobs. They all go to church. They all go to the happy hours. They all go home. They all spend solitude time by themselves, and they cross paths. Perfect Circle takes place here in the Northwest, and they happen to be friends with Tylo. Tylo is no longer the main character in Perfect Circle. It happens to be about his friends. And in everyday life of getting up and going to work, you have people who go through divorce, and, well, of course, they're looking to their future. You have those who are single by choice, and there's always a story. Why? You have those who have been had misfortunes. Maybe something happened to their mate. You also have domestic violence and overcoming it. Mm-hmm. Another big issue in our community is mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we deal with it? How does our churches deal with it? How do our friends deal with it? It's just not the person who we tend to write the story about, someone who is mentally deranged, but how does it affect everybody else, from children, parents, friends? So I kind of wrote this story all together, and it's the Seattle backdrop. There's mystery in it. So there's, and for sure, there's erotica in it, and a little poetry, so.
Well, Alvin, could you read us a little excerpt from Perfect Circle? Is that possible?
I could, but I need to pull that file up to so. While I'm doing that, I just want to encourage everyone that they can go to Barnes & Noble or Amazon, and you can put in my name, Alvin, L.A. Horn, and. I think that you should order the book like now. I just found out they have the prices really set really low, and they just upped it on Barnes & Noble. So, you know, that will be the first price increase. So I'm telling everybody right now that you might want to jump on in there.
Oh, yes, please. And I also want to tell the listening audience, rather than to just buy a book, why don't you get two, one for yourself and one for your significant other, or to pass on to a girlfriend or a relative, because Alvin is a great writer, and I'm sure, you know, you'll enjoy it. So, yes, we want everybody to go out there, pre-order that book, get it going, start ordering right now, because like he says, the prices will change. So, but even if they do, you still should be proud and go ahead and support Mr. Horn and his endeavor.
I appreciate that. And one of the good things about this time where I really took my time to increase my writing ability, this book reads as just as well for a woman as it does a man. You know, yes. Most fiction, modern fiction today, tends to be pointed toward women readers because they are the readers in general. And it's been said, and the numbers kind of prove, men don't read fiction as much. But this book reads very well for both men and women. So I want to encourage, so you can buy one for your brother. Your father could read this book, or your husband. Everything. Of course, I guess he figures he can share yours, but okay.
Nope, buy their own.
Buy their own.
Mr. Horn, I have a question. Now, what is, like, the age type? Is it for adults, mature adults, 20 and older, 30 and older? I mean, who is this? What kind of age group is it geared
for? Target audience.
Yeah.
The demographics that I write to, that's a good question. The demographics I tend to write to is, you know, leading toward the 35-plus, and my largest readership is at 40, 45, going all the way to 60. And how that works out is when you mention music in a book, if I was to mention Beyonce, which, you know, she's okay, I don't listen to her,
mm-hmm.
I'm not. I'm going to mention Phyllis Hyman.
Yeah.
You know, I'm gonna mention music that is more something that we would play and we have never gotten tired of. You know, I'm going to mention Will Downing. I'm not going to mention Neo.
Yeah. No,
understandable. To the music, you know, and why? Of course, I'm going to mention Marvin Gaye. Now, I may mention Maxwell, but probably more in tune that Marvin Gaye is playing. You know, so when you things that they're driving, the cars that they're driving, and the gadgets that they own or don't own, or their frustration with them, you know, all those things design what is going on around the age group for that group of people,
mm-hmm.
and how they, I'm no longer going to do this type attitude. It's, so yes, I do tend to write to a slightly older than I don't write to the 25-year-olds, even though a few have test read it, and you know they're right there with it. They can see it, they can feel it. So, but I tend to want to write to more adults, more mature adults, because it's our stories that we're going through. It is us who have been married 15, 10, 20 years and then found ourselves now alone. So, or starting up a new relationship and all these things. So I want to address those people. You know.
Very good.
Yes, indeed.
Very good.
I have a segment from the book. It's one of the main characters in the book. Her name is Lois May. Now, here's an example. You know, nobody names their child Lois May today. Okay. But Lois May is from Texas, and she's in her mid-40s. There's going to be Lois May down there. It just happens. It might have been her great-grandmother's name. So here's a segment I'll read to you. While driving in Seattle, wipers clearing the windshield of nothing one moment and not keeping up the next can frustrate your drive. Lois May pulled into the parking lot and immediately turned off her annoying wipers. She pulled the visor mirror down and saw her reflection of her ruby red lips. She was the red lip gloss queen, was almost her calling card. Lois May Island had a habit of consistently checking her lipstick in the driving mirror. Chaka Khan's Sweet Thing just had finished on the radio, and the love minister, the DJ on the radio, rhymed the poetic words between songs, from the microphone to your heart. Let me share some hot, steamy thoughts with you. Let my fantasies touch you like kisses. My thoughts, let them engulf you with a scintillating vision of the kind of time I want to spend with you. While listening to Earth, Wind, and Fire sing, can't hide love. Lois May bare tapped her foot on the carpet the way she was driving. She had took off her boot. She didn't want to scuff her Jimmy Cho boots. She had worn her boots out to her car, and she was upset with herself because it was damp and definitely not suede boot weather. But she wanted to be cute for that first date. On the way to meet her date, a car pulled up next to her at the red light when she looked over a young black man, much younger, flirted with her. He had more chrome in his mouth than the grill of his car. He motioned for her to roll her window down and mouth the words, can I call you? She smiled and shook her head no. Her Chrysler 300 had a custom grill and extra large chrome wheels too, but nothing like what he had. The car made her feel physically smaller when she drove it. The black and burgundy Chrysler with the dark gray leather seat interior, she always received compliments for it. Her body did not quite make her feel so self-assured. Lois May was not a small woman. She stood 5'11" and always wore heels. Her physical presence commanded attention. Slender she was not. There was a few too many pounds on her frame, and she called them extra dangerous curves. She was like an Amazon woman walking down the street, and her 38 double D breasts. She was a full-figured woman, proud of her breasts, displaying them whenever she could and whatever she wore. If men had any complaints, they never said so. Lois was sure a tall glass of a woman, and most men could not drink a full glass of her mental and physical. It had been a while since any man had closed the door to venture behind him. Some men and women felt intimidated by her until she spoke, and then you heard this soft, spoken, well-educated, cultured woman. Circumstances in life called for a gentle but mentally strong man to deal with the physical pains and psychological pains of her having been married to a cheating, a physically abusive husband. A second husband came along, and he was a dead man living, was murdered. A segment from the book, Perfect Circle.
You got me hanging on now. I need to find out what happened to Lois May.
I'm pulling up Amazon.com right now.
I know that's right, Chabonet. Let me hurry up and order this book. Order books. Forget a book. Books.
Yes, ladies, men, get the book.
Woo. It's area code 646-727, excuse me, 2914. We're speaking with Mr. Alvin L.A. Horn. 256, you're on the line. Thank you for joining us. Did you have any questions for Mr. Horn as we continue on?
No, I was just sitting there listening to his interview.
Okay, all righty. Well, going on, oh, gosh, I really enjoyed that, Alvin. Oh, now I can't wait to read Perfect Circle. I like that just enough to make you bite. Like, okay, I got to go get this book. I love
well,
it.
Well, I do have a question.
Okay.
How long has he been writing? I missed the beginning of the interview.
Go ahead, Mr. Horn.
Basically, I've been writing since I've been a young man. But writing was difficult. Physically, taking a pencil was difficult for me. I had basically a learning disability that got in the way. So I was more known for reciting poetry or recording it. And as I became older, I got some help with my learning disability and put a computer in front of me. So I would say actually physically writing, I would say for about the last 15 years. But I've always had that writer's thing going on inside.
Okay, that's what's up. So you got started off in poetry, because that's what I do. I write poetry, and I tell a lot of stories. I write a lot of short stories in poetic form. And
there you go. I like that. That's what I do. When people read my poetry, they're reading short stories. you know, and I want to write my poetry. I write my poetry so that you can understand it. You know, you can use all the most complicated verbiage you want, and you can show your education and everything through all the different words you may choose and everything. But if, you know, your poetry needs to touch someone. They need to be able to read it and feel it. And so I want to tell short stories within my poetry, and that's what I aim to do. So I commend you for doing that like that.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree, because you can't be so deep and go over your head, and I'm like, if nobody gets your point, I mean, what's the
get
use?
Get your
so,
point. What's
yeah.
True.
And I write from my poetry is, I think, is complex, but yet simple, if that makes sense, you know.
Yes.
So I like you. I like to tell stories. I even do like mini series with it. You know, sometimes it'll evolve from one piece and then go on to a whole different, you know, series. You know, I mean, it go on, evolves into a whole. I end up doing like part 10 of it, so it become a mini short story, in essence. But just listening to you, I haven't read any of your work, but I. We'll truly be on the lookout for it, though.
Barnes and Noble, Amazon.com.
Okay, I got you. Well, I'm going to let you continue the interview, but if the mic is open later, I would come back and I'd love to share one of my pieces.
Okay, sounds very good. Very good, sir. We'd enjoy that as well. Well, I would like to ask... Alvin, now, are there any future books coming out? Anything in the works in the next year or two?
Well,
after
you know,
Perfect Circle.
After Perfect Circle, you know, I think, you know, I've heard the word trilogy passed around. So what I am currently working on is from Brushstrokes. You know, we have Tylo, the main character, and in Perfect Circle, these are his friends that. Tylo comes through the Perfect Circle, going into a third one that I am currently working on, and I can give you the title already. It's called One Safe Place. It takes place right here in Seattle again.
Okay.
And if anybody has ever been around Alki, you can see those new condos along the waterfront there, and you see those old houses in between that somebody wouldn't sell out.
That happens
in every city. We got these brand new million-dollar condos in the most picturesque place, but somebody wouldn't sell their house out. And there's a few of those along Alki here in Seattle. And one of those places is right next to one of the condos, and it is called One Safe Place. A story takes place there, and it's another character, a friend of people from Perfect Circle and Tylo from Brushstrokes. His character, he is a little bit different. He's built like Mike Tyson. He is multicultural. He's a byproduct of a black father, white mother. He has golden eyes. He's well built. He's educated, but dangerous in his own right. He leads. I can tell you right now, he was an ex CIA special ops, all that kind of stereotypical stuff. He ended up doing some Secret Service stuff, and one of his assignments was to be Condoleezza Rice's bodyguard.
Wow.
Okay, but he ended up being her lover.
Oh.
Now we all know that Condoleezza, yeah, you know, we all know Condoleezza Rice just needs some good loving.
So true.
You know, she may not be as conservative as we may think, you know. It's kind of like the old days where we used to say, you know, the preacher's daughter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Them doors were shut. The whole
thing.
Anyway,
security.
She's one of the characters. So this next character who's, you know, in the trilogy of Brushstrokes, Getting in the Perfect Circle. One of his lovers, I said one of his lovers, is Condoleezza Rice.
Wow. That sounds interesting already. I just like the tidbit right there.
Mm-hmm. Now, Alvin, where are you going to be appearing at? Can you, you got any performances coming up soon, or?
There is the first Thursday of each month. A friend of mine named Virgo Oasis here in Seattle, Monique, she puts on a poetry and jazz show that's at the Scarlet Tree.
Okay.
That's our first Thursday of the month there. And we have the erotic poetry show that happens once a month, and that's just something you have to watch on Facebook to win. It's normally
okay.
The last Friday of the month, but sometimes it gets last Saturday, but sometimes it moves into the third Saturday. So it's just something you have to watch on Facebook for the erotic poetry shows. Other than that, as I'm doing right now, I'm sitting on my houseboat looking out the window, my computer keyboard's in front of me, and this is where I do my thing and do a little creation and keep on writing.
Sounds wonderful. It really does. God, we have just enjoyed you so much.
Truly.
Yes, we're looking forward to the books. And again, we will have Alvin back on again because your release date is October, is that correct?
October 16th, yes.
Yes, October 16th.
Mm-hmm.
So Alvin will be back on the show again. I want to try and get him back on either August or the 1st of September just as a reminder. And in the meantime, all the listening audience out there, I want you tomorrow... get on your computer, on the phone, order that book, order Perfect Circle on Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble, and get your copy now while you can. And like I suggested, do two. Don't buy one. Buy two books at a time, because I'm sure you're not going to want to share yours. As interesting and good as it sounds, you want to keep your own copy and maybe give one away to, you know, like we said, a significant other or friend or girlfriend or sister, whoever. So is there go ahead, Alvin, I'm sorry.
To go along with that, you know, one of the funniest things that happens as being an author is that somebody buys my book and they have to come back and buy it again because they loaned it out.
Oh, I know that pain.
Yes, me too.
I'm not quite sure how I feel about that. Like, okay, of course I want to sell them another book, but I feel sorry for them because I automatically know. I've just heard it so many times. I loaned my book out, and couldn't get it back, and I got all kinds of excuses and blah, blah, blah. So, buy two. The price right now, you know, at that point that you can spend less than $20 for two books, and, of course, you know, once a major publisher puts a book out there, it's $15 later on.
Yeah.
So I please ask you to encourage you. For those Seattleites, I'm your homegrown boy here. Please take care of me. Don't let the rest of the nation know me better than you. So,
yep, and that's so true. That is very right.
I appreciate everyone's support. And ladies, you are wonderful.
We're definitely
going
to have you back on again, no doubt.
Now, I do have a question, Mr. Horn. Are you going to have a release party here for your book in October?
In talking with the publisher, if sales go accordingly, I probably won't have a big release here in Seattle right away. Of course, I have some control of that, and it really depends on my people here. You know, I am going to do book signings here. How big of book signing I do here really depends on my people here. I'm encouraging them, and I've had conversations with, you know, several people who could be very helpful in making that happen and putting on a big affair here. So, yes, there will be something here in Seattle for sure. How big and when, it's kind of up to, you know, how my national sales go.
Okay.
Oh, also, before we let you go, how can people reach you? You know, if they want to talk to you or have questions like the gentleman earlier, you know, on writing or publishing, what have you.
I got a pretty nice website. I invite everybody to come to it. It's pretty easy to find me. It's alvinhorn.com. That's Alvin like the chickmunk and horn like blow your horn. You know, alvinhorn.com. That's my website, and from there it has a contact button, and you can send me an email, and I do respond. Something I'm very good with, no matter if it's Facebook or what have you. I don't want to get to the point that I'm so big I cannot respond, and I make all the effort I can to respond to whatever it is. So email me or contact me on Facebook, and I would love to hear from you.
All right. Sounds so good. Well, I just enjoyed you, and thank you so much today for coming on the air for the Q&A and also telling us a little bit about you and, of course, your books. Oh, my God. Shab, did you have anything that you wanted to say?
I say thank you for many, many smiles on my face. Oh, yeah. I say thank you very, very much. And as I, you know, read it to a friend or share it with a friend to read to me, we both thank you. So.
You know, hey, Shab, you know, you and I have to get together with our hats sooner or later.
Oh, you know we have to. Now, yeah, let me put that out there. Ladies and gentlemen, now, I love my hats. My mother raised me to love my hats. But Mr. Alvin Horn loves his hats as well. And, woo, you be looking good in your hats. We got to get together and take a couple pictures.
There you go.
That is a definite, because I love them. So, yes, but please continue to do the great work you are doing. I mean, it really,
yeah.
It's just so tastefully done. That's what I think turns a lot of people on. It's classy, it's tasteful, and you can relate to it.
Yes.
You really can, you know, and it does take you of levels of ecstasy. You honestly probably didn't think your mind, your spirit, and your body could take you to. So I personally thank you for the work that you do, and I continue to look forward to the future work of yours. So thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I hope that you have a good afternoon, Mr. Horn. You're welcome to stay on the air. We're going to let this young man read his poetry. Or, you know, you can hang up. It's up to you. But we just enjoyed you so much, and I do thank you for spending this time with us. It was longer than I anticipated, but I'm so grateful that you were able to be on this long with us. So thank you.
I love it.
Most kindly.
Thank you. I'll be back.
Okay. All right. And we love you.
Sure do.
All right. All right, area code 256. You're on the air. And who is this again? I'm sorry I didn't get your name.
Hey. Okay, my name is Gary Malone. I call out I'm out in these forums, these vlog talk shows or whatever. I log in and username is Wing Dog. But my government
okay.
name is Gary Malone. Yeah.
Okay,
but
Gary.
I was looking to see if y'all had a chat room that I was I didn't see it. I couldn't get in it if y'all had one.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't even put it up today. I'm so sorry. I sure did.
Oh, okay.
Didn't. Yeah,
okay.
But
how often do you all broadcast?
We're on every Sunday, Mr. Malone, from 4 to 5 o'clock. And the name of our show is In the Studio with LSV. That's Lena, Chabanet, and Vernice.
And that's Western Pacific time.
Yeah, Pacific time, 4 p.m. I'm sorry. East Coast is 7, Chabanet, is
yes,
that correct?
Yes, 8.
Yeah, 7 o'clock. 4 o'clock Pacific and 7 East, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, Mr. Malone, are you going to grace us with one of your poems?
Yeah, I could. And that's what I was sitting here looking at, seeing what I was wanting to read. I got this piece. This is a short fictional poetic novel, one that I was telling you about, and I'm going to read the first couple of chapters of it. And they're short. They're very short. It's in poetic form.
Okay. Very good. Go ahead, Mr. Malone, and the title of it?
It's called Pain, Pleasure, and Passion. And the reason I asked if y'all on again, I will continue. I will come back next Sunday and do another chapter until I finish the whole thing.
Oh,
okay.
Very nice.
Okay, so I'm gonna give you the first three in the character. Like I said, they are short. It's not a long. It's just short. Okay. But it's called Pain, Pleasure, and Passion. These are the first three chapters. Chapter 1, Pain. We met on a Sunday evening at a spoken word jazz session. And somewhat shy, sweet, and sexy, fair skin with short hair, this ebony princess appealed to all five of my senses. And unbeknown to my heart, she was a death sentence. I knew from the beginning she wouldn't be good for me. But she looked, smelled, and tasted and felt so good to me. A lady on my arms and a freak between the sheets, the things she would do to me. And after we finished, three words to describe, hot, wild, and fantastic. And like an illegal substance to her body, I was hooked. Yet sadly, like a five-star hotel, she stayed booked. Falling for her and always wanting more, she just insisted on us being friends, for she wasn't mine alone to claim. After all the horrible experience with men, I said, why me? I like the special way you treat me, and I love your mind. And it hurt because I couldn't have her to myself. I call her Pain. A professional call girl, her clients called her Rain. Only this dime never charged me a dime. All she wanted was my time. Chapter 2, Pleasure. She loved to salsa at the local nightclub. A biracial beauty, petite, pretty, witty, and very outspoken. The way she moved her body, she was graceful as a ballerina. Mesmerized by her stripper-type moves, I loved her groove. My heart was her pole as she danced on the floor of my mind. I saw her and I struck up conversation with her in the grocery store checkout line. What's your name? She smiled. Just for now, just call me Pleasure. But trust me, Pleasure, it's all mine. How about let's do lunch? We met at a local dining, and I had a cheeseburger, and she had a BLT. And we connected so well. Later for dessert, she asked, could she taste and ride my DTD? And I rubbed, sucked, and clicked on her soft. We had unadulterated sex for hours upon end, and suddenly we went from strangers to lovers while slowly becoming friends. And after weeks of pleasure, our steamy affair was over as swiftly as it began. I don't understand. See, my husband deployed overseas in the military. I'm glad I met you, but I failed to tell you I'm a married woman. Chapter 3, Passion. Listen to her sing, her thoughts, my thoughts of her was sinister. Very talented, she was the daughter of an associate minister. Passion, I didn't know you could sing so well. It's funny the things you learn about a person after knowing them for several years. Spiritually beautiful, voluptuous, and educated, a dark and lovely queen. I think I just found my soulmate. And after much persistence, she finally agreed to a date. We shared a deep passion for each other, the girl of my dreams, my friend, my baby mother. Still, I cheated on her while she was carrying our child. Hurt, we broke up and she left town for a while. She took me back only after I asked her hand in marriage. Pregnant again after two miscarriages. Not long afterward, things seemed to change, and even in the bedroom, the passion went even the same. I wondered, has she found out about my momentary romance with Pleasure? Am I no longer in love? She said, I'm no longer in love with you, and tomorrow I'm leaving. I waited long enough, now I finally got even. Wait, Passion, I love you. I know you do, but I love you too. However, when you cheated on me, it hurt me deeply. Oh, by the way, I ran into Miss Love at the doctor's office. Did you know that she was pregnant too? I wonder, is it the father, you? Well, See, this, Drew, this child is not yours. His father is one of the deacons. And she closed the door and left me alone in pain, silently weeping. Then on the nightstand, my cell phone rang. It was Rain. Pain don't have to hurt, especially. Huh?
Go ahead. You weren't through with passion. Go ahead.
yeah, but I was going to sum up the three chapters, and this was the sum of it, is of those three. It says, pain don't have to hurt, especially when you know it's not yours. And pleasure can start off fun, but it can deceive you. Taking passion for granted can turn to pain, and the end results are trading deep passion for a moment of pleasure can cause a lifetime of pain. Yeah. Yeah, that's the first three chapters of it.
That is really good, Mr. Malone. I truly enjoyed that.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, you're a good writer. We got to get you published, sir.
Well, I hope y'all hang on, because I was meant to tease y'all too, because it's 15 chapters to this story. Matter of fact, it's not finished, and I want to come back and, like I say, and give y'all a little bit more each time, because you get more into the story. But that's just the introduction of the character. I guess you got it's three women. They all,
okay,
anyway,
yeah. Pain, pleasure,
it more reveals itself more on later into the story.
Well, I'm going to do poetry again in the month of May, so we will have Poetry Sunday again. And I would love for you to call in and continue with this, because very, very interesting. Very interesting.
Oh, wow.
My thing, I would say, Mr. Malone, is do get in touch with Mr. Alvin L.A. Horn, and maybe he might have some referrals or suggestions, because what you're writing is definitely good. You need to get that out to the masses, to the people.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's a very – I'm flattered. I'm glad. I was thinking y'all may not even get it, you know, didn't undergo – but, oh, wow. I never read that to anyone.
Oh, sir, you're a good writer.
Well,
don't
thank
doubt that.
You for honoring us.
Yeah, I've never read that story. I mean, I've got a lot of poetry here, but I've never read that. I just that story started off with one poem. I was challenged to do a poem called Pain, Pleasure, and Passion, and I just turned it into a story. It just one storm, and then I just continued on with it, and I got up to 15 chapters.
I'm telling you, those first chapters is one hell of a story.
Yes, it is.
Oh, wow.
Yes, it is.
Oh, wow.
So please keep up. Just check with Blog Talk Radio. I don't know what Sunday it'll be in May, but definitely I would really appreciate you calling back, Mr. Malone, and sharing some more of this book with us, your poetry.
I will do, and I would definitely link up with Alvin, Mr. Horn, and I'll try to get some advice and a little. Some advice and stuff from him about the industry too. But I really thank you all once again for allowing me to share.
Oh, you're most welcome. Thank you for allowing us. As Chauvinet said, we're honored to have you.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
I'm flattered.
Got
I'm
me
excited.
Making a phone call. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Malone.
All right, thank you.
Yo, you're most welcome. We only got a few minutes left, and I got area code 757. Did you have a comment or want to read a poem? 757?
No, I didn't. I really enjoyed that poem.
Yes, it was good, wasn't
yes.
it? Yes. Okay, let me do one more. We got area code 206. Did you have a comment, or did you want to read a quick poem? No? Okay. Well, let me do this. I'm gonna read a quick poem. I also wrote a book. It's called Are You Ready? And you can get it on my website, theessenceofsuccess.com. And the title of my book, as I said again, is Are You Ready? By Lennis Boyd. So I'm going to just read a quick one, and then I'm going to let Chauvinet close it out. The title of the poem is I Need a Job. I need a job with benefits. If you please give me a chance, please, to be at ease, to provide for myself, family, and other needs. Figurehead I am, not some low head. I need a job with benefits, if you please. Give me a chance, please, to be at ease. Politics state plenty of jobs. Then why do you ascertain I can't maintain or stake a claim? I need a job with benefits, if you please. Give me a chance, please, to be at ease. Tell me, is it my gender, race, religion, or creed? God knows I have needs. See me as you please. Check out my credentials. B.A., M.A., Ph.D. I need a job with benefits, if you please. Give me a chance, please, to be at ease. I've worked hard for my accomplishments to represent documents, not incompetence. Who am I, you ask? I am you without the mask. I need a job with benefits, if you please. Give me a chance, please, to be at ease. Okay, thank you, everyone, for joining us today on In the Studio with LSV. Again, I would like to thank Mr. Alvin L.A. Horn for his interview on his new book coming out, Perfect Circle. Remember, go to Barnes & Noble, and that's Amazon.com. Pre-order your books now because the price will change in the future. Also, I'd like to thank Mr. Gary Malone for his reading today. That was wonderful. And hope to hear from him again next week. Next Sunday is the first Sunday of May, so you know the first Sunday is psychic readings, everybody. One question per caller so everybody can get a chance. And we have truly enjoyed today, and I thank you all so much for listening in. And again, this is In the Studio with Lennis Chavanet and Vernice. Have a good Sunday, y'all. As soon as...